We're doing the book of Sefaniah. We're up to the first chapter, the 15th Pasuk. And the Navi had been describing how the deceit of the leaders, the injustices of the leadership of Israel will cause a great destruction to come. And the Navi says in Pasuk Tetvav, Yom Ivra Hayom Ahu, that day will be a day of anger. Yom tzara umtsuka, yom shoah umshoah, yom choshech va'afela, yom anan va'arafel. That day is going to be yom tzara, a day of troubles, umtsuka, it's like tzara and tsuka are the same idea, a problematic time, yom shoah umshoah. Shoah is a term that refers to darkness. Mishoah is like Shimamon. It means a day of desolation. Yom Choshech Va'afela, a day of darkness, a day of weeping. Yom Anan Va'arafel, a day of... Anan is covered with cloud. Arafel is covered with fog. So... often it's like the fog of the cloud. So the Navi uses duality, as the Navi often does in his poetic form. And if you want to see the difference, the exact definition of each word, you got to look at the Malbim. He goes into what are the nuances of difference between the two words. But the idea is it's going to be a day of destruction. It's going to be a day of darkness. It's going to be a day of clouds. It's going to be a day of trouble. I'm with you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's taken from Tanakh. And the word Shoah really means darkness, and it shows up a few times in Tanakh. Shoah could mean desolation, could mean darkness. Yom Shofah Rutu'ah. It'll be a day of blowing the trumpets, it'll be a day of blowing the shofar together as the enemy approaches, the warning signs. Al ha'arim ha'betzurot ve'al ha'pinot ha'givohot. Hashem says, even the fortified cities, and even the towers, those high towers, will also panic and blow their trumpets. Va'tzeroti la'adam ve'alechu ka'ivrim ki ladonai chata'u v'shupach damam ke'afar. Ulchumam kagilalim vatzeroti. I will bring a tzara. I will bring a difficult period. La Adam, over the people of Israel who are called Adam. The Navi says Ha Adam is a reference to all of humanity, descendants of Adam. Adam is a special level, which is the level of Am Yisrael, as the Navi says in Yechezkel. Atem Adam Atem. You're the ones that are called Adam. Meaning there's the general human populace, and then there's a higher level which is called Adam, which is a higher form of representation of Hashem in the world. And so Hashem says, I will bring affliction onto Adam, meaning the people of Israel. V'alechu ka'ivrim, they will walk like the blind. They won't know where they're going. And the reason behind it is ki l'Hashem chatau, for they've sinned to Hashem. V'shupach damam ka'afar, and just as people pour out earth and the... They think, if I need it, I'll just pick it up again. So too, their blood will be spilled without any care. Ulchumam? Yeah.
You said Am Yisrael is Ha'adam?
No,
Adam.
Adam.
But here, with underneath the Lam, isn't that a Kamaz?
Yeah.
It's essentially like a hey.
You're right. Ha'adam could include that, but here, the commentaries understand that Adam over here is specifically Israel.
Right.
Technically, Ha'adam can encompass all of humanity. It doesn't have to. But
so it could be for Israel or all of humanity.
Right.
Adam
is only Israel. Right. Okay, even that pshat that I just told you is Tosis's pshat. Meaning, Pasha pshat is, anytime it says Adam, it's only Israel. Tosis comes up with a few places that the Gemara seems to contradict that. So Tosis says, yeah, but in all those Gemaras, it's talking about Ha'adam. So he says, Ha'adam could also include all of humanity. It doesn't say that the Gemara just says Adam is Israel. Tosis is bothered because there are places where the Gemara seems to contradict that, the way the Gemara darshins. Ulchumam kagilalim. And lechumam is a reference to their flesh will be thrown about like feces. And if you read Josephus, you see that's exactly what happened at the destruction. Gam kaspam gam zeavam lo yuchal lehatzilam b'yom mevrat Adonai uv'eish kinato teyachel kol haaretz. And the Navi warns that not only won't they be able to save themselves, but their silver and their gold won't be of any avail to saving themselves. B'yom mevrat Hashem, in the day of Hashem's anger, uve'esh kinato, and in the fire of Hashem's wrath, teyachel kol haaretz, all of the earth will be consumed. And the earth is very often a reference to those who inhabit the earth. It doesn't necessarily mean the earth itself. You see the Targum and other commentaries are translated to mean the wicked on the land. Haaretz is the inhabitants of the land. Ki chala ach nivhala yaseh et kol yoshevei haaretz. Ki chala ach nivhala yaseh. Hashem will bring about great fear. He will bring about great destruction on all those who live in the land of Israel. Et kol yoshevei haaretz, on all the inhabitants of the land. And there won't be an escape. Hashem says their money won't save them then. And so the Navi continues and says, Hitkoshashu vakohoshu hagoy lo nichsaf. The Navi says, Hitkoshashu, which could mean gather. Lekoshesh kash is to gather the hay that they're cutting down. And Hitkoshashu could also mean to seek out, to search. And so the Navi says, Hitkoshashu vakoshu, seek out yourselves. Hagoy lo nichsaf, you nation, that you have no desire. You have no desire for closeness with Hashem. You have no desire for tshuva. You're perfectly fine living the way you are, distant from Hashem. Chazal tell us in this pasuk, itkosheshu vakoshu, that the pasuk is teaching us an important halachic concept. Hitkosheshu is the active tense of seek out others. That's the responsibility of the judges. Hitkosheshu, or hitkosheshu, I'm sorry, is seek out yourself. Seek out yourself, vakoshu, and then seek out others. So Chazal say that this is the halacha, that a person cannot think he will be a leader and rebuke others unless he has been rebuked himself. And Chazal apply this, that a person can't be a judge if he can't be judged himself. The king, if you can't rebuke him, if you can't judge him, he can't be a judge. Being that no one can rebuke the king, so the king can't rebuke others. He can't sit on the court. The Gemara applies this halacha l'maisa. The Gemara says any person that's beyond rebuke is beyond rebuking others as well.
He can't be a witness either, right?
Right. Oh, that's because we're scared he'll kill her. Yeah. So hitkosheshu, it's also that's an issue of his honor. But the Gemara applies this all over, that in order for someone to have authority to judge others, he must first be judged himself. And Chazal also say, kshot atzmecha, first check out yourself. Are you 100%? And only afterwards may you check out others. Hit koshishu, seek out yourself, and only then, vakoshu, seek out others.
Sorry, just going back to the point that they were running away from Hashem, or they weren't returning to Hashem. Was that the all of the people? Because what if there's a chunk of people who are trying to be pious and return to Hashem?
Right.
Would that sort of speak on behalf of the majority that are running away? Or
so this is a question that we often ask throughout our learning of the Navi. And the impression we get is that the Navi speaks in a general sense, even though the general populace did not sin as badly as some of them did. There were large numbers who sinned, and then there were large numbers who didn't stand up to them. We see it in our parsha. According to some of the commentaries, only the 3,000 who died sinned. And yet all of Am Yisrael, Saru Meher, the nation left my path, and we find it in Yoshua, one man stole from the loot of Jericho, And yet Hashem says, the nation has sinned, they've turned back from our covenant, and a whole long speech, one man. You have a whole army, one man takes from the loot. We're responsible for one another, and people knew about it, and people were quiet. And Hashem takes us to task over being quiet, meaning we cannot be innocent bystanders. Once we know about it, we're supposed to do something about it. So there were definitely pious people. You have the Navi Yirmiyahu, you have the Navi Tzfaniah, you have pious people in Israel. And the question is, what percentage were sinning like this when the Navi speaks this way? And what percentage were at fault for not rebuking, for not standing up to them? That's a discussion among the later commentaries. I don't have a clear tradition on which way that goes. My teachers often spoke about the fact that the numbers were far less than one gets the impression in the prophets. We see time and again that the prophets, we would use the term exaggerate, but that's not really the right term, because they're expressing Hashem's perspective on it. So that's not an exaggeration, that's an accurate description. To our mind, it's an exaggeration. What's this reaction? All of Am Yisrael didn't sin. The answer is, oh yes, all of Am Yisrael stood by, and obviously, on a certain level, they did sin, because they condoned what was going on. When the leaders sinned, so then, there was a tremendous number of leaders sinning. You see that people couldn't get justice done. The Navi Yeshayahu describes that the widow, the orphan, they had no hope in the justice system. And in order for a justice system to be corrupt, many levels of the justice system have to be corrupt. The police force, the judges, the people above the judges and below the judges. Unfortunately, we see that here today. I mean, in the state of Israel, the system is corrupt, and it's well known that it's corrupt. From the judges to the police force, we know. We've seen, we saw in Amona, we saw in Gush Katif, we saw policemen standing and backing one another, lying to the courts. We saw letters from the Chief Justice sending down to other judges that he's telling them how to rule politically. I mean, we've seen this here. And obviously, in order for this to work, you need a system that's unjust. When just last week, the Sar HaBitachon says he can't be a Ramatkal because in order to be a Ramatkal, he needs to be more moral than Sar HaBitachon. Meaning, he's appointing the Ramatkal, and he knows that he has a dirty history. So he has to explain, how could I say he's not fit when I have a worse history than he does? So he says, well, he could be a Sar HaBitachon. He could have my post with that kind of history. But you need a higher level. It's on record. I mean, and the media quotes it without batting an eyelash. Like, that makes sense, right? You're appointing him to the post, and we know you've been caught on dishonesties and illegalities. And yeah, my position doesn't require that level of honesty. He said it. And when I first heard it, I thought it was a joke. No. Okay. So it's a problem. And part of the message the Navi gives us is that we have a responsibility too.
Meaning, you see that in Jewish culture today, maybe not from a majority, but there's a strong desire within Jewish people to fight injustice and corruption and try and stand up against it. Even though in the state of Israel it's hard, but I think there's still some small minority maybe that are trying to go against that.
Right, but it's a small minority. Yeah, you see what's happening all over the world. There reaches a breaking point where the public says, we're not going to deal with this anymore. We're not going to put up with this anymore. And Hashem expects our breaking point to be different. And that's a recurring theme in Tanakh. When a woman was raped and to death, literally, in Pilegesh Begiva, so then that was a breaking point. All of Israel gathered and went to war against the people who did it. Okay, all of Israel gathers and we have civil war. And we don't win the first time and the second time. We lose. So our sages have a tradition that the reason we lost was because for years, the tribe of Dan had an idol in their midst, in the north, by the Chatzmani. They had an idol. And God said, why didn't you unite in mass to fight that? Obviously, that doesn't bother you so much. So then when it bothers you because you feel like that's immoral, mass rape, that's immoral. Well, it's also immoral to have idol worship. My honor doesn't bother you. Your honor bothers you. How could a woman be defiled that way? That bothers you. So Hashem says, I'm not with you on the war. They were right. But Hashem says, but you should have been more right. Meaning Hashem says, your breaking point should have come when a whole tribe takes an idol. And it didn't come then. So obviously you're not so bothered by a tribe having an idol. So that's where we find that the Navi sometimes speaks to us in harsh terms, and it's not necessarily that all of us have sinned, but it's more that all of us have condoned the sin. We all continue our daily lives, and no. At best we'll join a Facebook group that says, I'm against it. That's you know, that doesn't cost too much. But you see that nations have breaking points. There is a point where we say we're not going to put up. Every nation. We see it, and Hashem demands that of us. The Navi says in Pasuk Bet, B'terem le'edet chok kimotz avar yom. Yeah.
So, since I know this corruption that you're talking about is going on, and I haven't done anything about it, what is that? Does that mean that I'm as guilty as these people are reading about right now?
I don't know about as guilty, but I think we each have to take heart and take note and think, okay, what can I do? And what should my role in all of this be? There is a certain responsibility that we have. And let's start with the most simple point. Hashiva shofteinu kevarishona. We say it every day. Let's just start with having kavanah there. You know, that's a good starting point. Then you have to think practically. Okay, how can we move this forward? And different situations have different solutions, and different people have different roles in bringing about that solution. But at least we should be bothered. At least in our davening it should be reflected. If we're bothered and it's an issue that we think about and care about, then with time we'll find ways to affect the system. About a year ago, the chief rabbi of Tzahal prohibited advertisement or articles being written pro-homosexuality in the army's newsletter. And Knesset members came out against him. Who does he think he is? So I was shocked to see the way one Knesset member wrote, Ofer Pinespaz. And so I went online and I searched his email address and his Facebook group. And I went and I posted him a letter. And I said to him, look, with all due respect, if you're shocked at what he says, I'm shocked at the way you talk to a rabbi. You disagree with him? Well, there's room to discuss. But at least talk to him with respect. You know, who's going to eulogize you when you die? You're going to bring a rabbi to your funeral. I wrote him a letter. I said, you know, you can't respect him when you need him and then talk about him the way you spoke about him. You want to disagree with him? There's room to discuss that. At least disagree with respect. You are talking about the chief rabbi at Tzal. He wrote me a letter back. So, that's something minuscule. It's not big. But it's a reflection. Hey, I'm not going to stand idly by when you speak that way. There are times when we have to voice our opinion. And I was contemplating, do I really want to put my name into politics? You know, I like staying away from politics. I said to myself, I don't have a right to sit quietly by when this is happening. And if more people would react, then he wouldn't get away with doing what he's doing. And other people wouldn't get away with it. So I'm saying sometimes reacting on Facebook is also a big thing. At least it's something. Writing a letter to the Prime Minister or someone else, at the end of the day, they do get the stats of how many people responded and said what. So there are different things we can do. We don't have to automatically overthrow the government and mass protest, but we do have to start making our voices heard and protest the things that are wrong. I think each situation demands its response. I don't think there's like one formula in each generation, and each person has their role. But there has to be care given, and when there's care and there are enough people who are going to express that care, that's when change starts happening.
Was he respectful in his response?
Yes. He was respectful in his response. I was I was happy he saw what I said. You know, I don't think I'm going to change the person with one letter, but I think that there has to be an expression of protest. It can't just happen.
I read something similar. I wrote the Canadian Prime Minister
and
the Foreign Minister as well. about Iran. And I said, they wrote back. I mean, their office.
Their office wrote back, yeah. Yeah, it's important. It's important.
I didn't think I was going to get anything back. I thought now I'm going to get a secret service.
It's important. At the end of the day, they get the stats. How many people responded and said what? They do have to be in tune to some level with what the public's saying.
Nadi, is part of our response to take part in elections and vote in people who... You can become disheartened with politicians, all politicians.
For sure, but you have to participate in politics, and on that level, you have to vote. Yeah, every person has to vote. How you vote is a good question. It depends a little bit. If you're in Israel, you're in Chutz Laaretz, and there it's a little bit complicated to know who to vote for. But I mean, you do have to vote.
In Israel, especially, I mean, there's so many different parties, and
right.
And how do you?
It's not so clear what the outcome of your vote's going to be. Right. For a party, and you don't really know what
their role is going to be, or if they're in power, or if they're going to be. It's
a parliamentary system.
But you have to make your voice heard. You have potential to affect, so affect as best as you can. Yeah.
But there's some rabbis who say they shouldn't vote.
I didn't know there were rabbis who said it. I know there were people who said it.
I'm not sure.
My tradition is that every Jew has to vote. And that's not only from Rav Feinstein Zatzal, it's also from Rav Halberstam Zatzal, from the Eidah Haredis. I know that they put up posters in his name that he says not to vote. But as far as I know, when he was asked to join the Banat Seidah Haredis, what I was told is, one of his conditions was, when you post signs that say it's prohibited to vote, don't put my name on it. They didn't listen. and he wasn't the only one. The chief rabbi of the Eidah Haredis, Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, the former chief rabbi, to the best of my knowledge, also, I was told by people who spoke to him personally, did not hold what they put on their posters. He also held that every person has to vote. And Rav Eliashiv put out a sign a few years ago that every Jew has to vote and try and affect that the government move in the right direction. So you say rabbis, I don't know. I'm unaware of rabbis who said it. I'm aware...
Why are rabbis? Because they put posters.
Okay, so yeah. Anyone can put up a poster. I don't know who really holds you shouldn't vote. I don't know. So the Navi says, "Beterem le'edet chok." Before this decree was born, kimot avar yom, just as the people will be scattered like the chaff, before the decree that the people will be scattered like the chaff is scattered through the day. Beterim lo yavo aleichem charon af Adonai. Beterim lo yavo aleichem yom af Adonai. Do this before the anger of Hashem comes upon you. Do this before you're scattered by the enemies like a chaff that's scattered in the wind. The Navi is encouraging the people to take heed and repent and return to Hashem before it's too late, which is the repeated call of the leaders who see the danger coming, and the repeated response of the people is, we got time, don't worry. And the Nevi'im keep warning, it's coming, it's happening, it's going to be. And the Navi pleads, Hitkoshushu v'koshu, do repent before it's too late. Bakashu Adonai kolan vei ha'aretz asher mishpato pa'ahalu. You, the anvei ha'aretz, the people who are the humble on the land, seek out Hashem asher mishpato pa'alu, that you've done the justice of Hashem. Bakeshu tzedek, bakeshu anava, ulai tisateru beyom af Adonai. And he says, and you, the remnants of the people, you start seeking justice and humility, because maybe then, on the day of Hashem's anger, you will be able to hide and you won't be wiped out in the exile. And you'll be one of those that come back. He's saying there will be a remnant. There will be the righteous who make it out. So you who are righteous, you who are humble, seek out Hashem, daven to Hashem, that you make it out of this situation. And you that are not yet there, well, get there. Bakashu tzedek, seek out righteousness and humility, and then maybe you'll be among those that hide and escape the day of Hashem's anger.